Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Garibaldi Red podcast as Nottingham Forest are beaten by 2 goals away from home at Goodison Park to Everton in what was a crucial game for the Reds. Maybe a must win, but also don't lose the game. Forest did lose the game and lots to talk about. VAR, Stuart Atwell, club statements, Nuno, the pressure on him, the pressure on players, full-time scenes, which weren't great to see, but understood with fans kind of putting the blame on the players as they came to salute and applaud them. I will add, we are live on YouTube and Facebook, so be sure to get your comments into us. Joining me to discuss the performance and everything surrounding it, Max Scott, TalkSport broadcaster and Forest fan, and Mark Turner as well, Forest fan and regular to the podcast. Before I kind of kick things off, both, Max, how are you? Have you managed to calm down yet?
Yeah, no, I think perfectly calm, but... You know, I think there's lots to talk about, and we'll get into that in a moment. You know, this, like we say all the time, it's part and parcel, I think, of following the football club. It's part of following the football club under the ownership that we've got. There's lots of quirks. There's lots of, you know, developments that you would never expect. But equally, outside of Forest control, there's lots of things that fuel that fire that we're here to talk about. So looking forward to getting into it. And then, yeah, I just reiterate, really want to hear what fans think. You know, get your comments in, because it's unprecedented. Whatever way you want to look at it, what we've seen today, what we've seen after the game is unprecedented. And it's no doubt going to, this isn't going to end today. You know, yeah. There's clearly the club want this to be as public as possible. And, you know, an investigation's being launched into Forest for that tweet. And so I think hearing what fans have got to say is really important for what we want to do in this podcast.
Yeah, Mark also joining us. I will come to you in a minute, Mark. I promise I won't forget about you. I could never forget about you. So thanks for joining. I wanted to kind of kick it off, and in a relatively short period of time broadcasting and covering Forest since the age, the grand old age of 14, I never really agree with kind of going on a rant or me kicking it off with my views, because at the end of the day, you know, I present the podcast, and luckily I have great guests that come on and give me their views. But I don't think I can go without really starting off without my views. So I'm going to give my views. And we all know what happened. If you don't, Forest have put a tweet out. I'll read the tweet to you. Nottingham Forest tweeted on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, 3 extremely poor decisions, 3 penalties not given, which we simply cannot accept. We warned the PGMOL that the VAR is a Luton fan before the game, but they didn't change him. That's Stuart Atwell. Our patience has been tested multiple times. Nottingham Forest Football Club will now consider its options. The 3 penalties for me, 2 of them are penalties. I don't think we're kind of disagreeing on that. However, when a professional football club, and in particular our football club, the fans' football club, is tweeting after the game out of pure emotions, which seems like this tweet could have literally come from the Marinakis family because it is that angry. To tweet something like that, to put Forest in such a serious situation now with the FA launching an investigation into Forest, and also in a way to invite more pressure onto the football club at a time when Forest have broken the rules for PSR, at a time when Forest are fighting for their lives at the bottom of the Premier League to simply stay in the division, to put a tweet out like that, in my opinion, is absolutely wrong. And the football club should not do that. It is a professional football club. We're not talking about a Sunday league football club here. We're talking about Nottingham Forest Football Club, a club that me and many others invest money into, invest time into, go to away games. And frankly, another poor performance today, which you can blame slightly on referee decisions, and you can see why Forest kind of have almost ammo to their kind of argument. But in the same sense, Forest lost the game today by not taking chances. I was there at Goodison, and the majority of the fans inside that away end weren't talking about the decisions at the end of the game. They were talking about how poor another performance was under Nuno, where questions are being asked on him now. And I just think for Nottingham Forest to tweet that today is nothing short of disgraceful. That's my views on it. Very strong views, but I'm going with it. I want to bring in Mark. Mark, what did you make of that statement? Can you see any justification to it? And simply, do you agree?
Well, hey, guys. I'm trying to gather my thoughts here because this could very well end up being the most contentious pod we put out this season. But also, how can it not be? Given everything we saw in the game today and the tweet that followed subsequently, you know, I'm struggling with this one, Max, because when the tweet came out initially, I saw a lot of snidey responses in regards to it from people who should know better. And it got my back up and it sent me into kind of defense mode, as it were. But also, I'm someone who's come through and followed Forest now for, you know, I first started following Forest the very first year they won the European Cup. I talk about the incredible good fortune of selecting Forest as my team and subsequently seeing them raise the European Cup later that year. And of course, seeing Nottingham Forest in a certain light, right, through the Brian Clough lens, through the way that we conduct ourselves, through the standards that people associate with Nottingham Forest. It's well documented that Clough wouldn't allow any of his players to get on officials during the match. You know, he would admonish the players himself if they were to take those steps. And so as I'm calming down and I'm trying to process everything and I'm trying to look at the bigger picture, I agree with you. I largely agree with you. I think my thoughts are in line with your own, Max. I put out a tweet myself once I calmed down a little bit that simply said, look, do I wish Nottingham Forest hadn't sent that tweet? Yes. But I'm more concerned that the club had cause to do so given the circumstances. We can talk about appropriateness of social media posts all day long, but we can also talk about the integrity of our national game? And that's not just in regards to Nottingham Forest. We've seen the decision made this week in regards to FA Cup replays and the impact that has on the greatest majority of teams. And I don't want to get too far off the beaten path here, Max, but you know, the greatest majority of professional teams in this country to the benefit of very few. Fundamentally, this game is in turmoil. It really is. But then that being said, I don't know the Forest. The best way to go about providing resolution to that is to respond in the way that Forest did. So in balance, it's a very long-winded way of saying I'm with you, Max. But also, you know, when a club comes to you beforehand and says the VAR is a supporter of a rival relegation team and you as a league don't feel the need to respond to that or do something about it, you really are opening yourself up to all that followed.
Yeah. Max, do you want to come in there?
Yeah, I think really measured response from Mark. Max, you know, I'm with you on a lot of what you said. My big point, and this is something that I try to have anyway, to varying degrees of success in my own work, is that I'm a big champion of sort of nuance. And I think that there's a lot of nuance in this conversation that we need to, despite the charged emotions, we need to allow ourselves to have. So I've been open and public in my criticism of the ownership of Nottingham Forest Football Club. If the stewardship of Nottingham Forest Football Club had been wiser, we wouldn't be in such a bad situation because we'd be 4 points better off. And the feelings that we feel now wouldn't be as strong because it wouldn't mean as much. And so that's one thing that I feel, in my opinion, is true. However, I still think that there is a convincing argument that if rules, simple rules, had been followed by referees at earlier points in the season, I think of the Willy Bolly sending off, for example, one of many, if rules had been followed and standards weren't as inconsistent and poor in the best football league in the world, then even despite Forest challenges, even despite the quirks of Forest being owned by people who are willing to tweet publicly their criticism of the PGMOL, despite that, we might not be in such a bad situation. However, and you know, the nuance continues. However, I think there are reasonable Forest fans that will look at the tweet that Forest sent and think, that is not befitting of my football club. That is not befitting of any football club, let alone a club with such rich history that we celebrate and that makes us feel proud of being Forest fans. But I do think that there is a group of those very same reasonable Forest fans that will look at that tweet and think, fair play. They will look at that tweet and think, if it's true that Stuart Atwell is some way related to Luton, some way has some sort of affinity with Luton, then it is a fair comment to make. Whether the club should make it publicly on Twitter is a very different matter. But I think that there will be fans in the middle, Max, that look at this and think, well, I don't like the fact my club's posting this, but I agree with the sentiment. I think this sentiment. And the last thing I'll say on this is I think there's a very fine but serious line of Forest fans wanting to have a healthy conversation about standards of refereeing, want to have a healthy conversation about the consistency in which VAR and rules are applied by VAR. There's a very fine line between that and saying that in some way there is corruption or a conspiracy against Forest. In my opinion, get real. It's a cop-out answer. It's an easy way to sit on your high horse or to somehow be a victim of Forest. The Premier League and the PGMOL don't want Forest in the league. Get real. It's a cop-out. Let's have a conversation about standards of officiating, because I've been tweeting about this, and rightly, Burnley fans, Luton fans, Sheffield United fans, Palace fans, Brentford fans have been in my comments saying, well, hold on, it's not just you, it's us. And I agree. So we can't sit there and say, woe is me, it's just Forest. Yes, we've been on the receiving end of some awful decisions. But this is a wider conversation about the standards of officiating in the so-called best league in world football. And that needs to change.
Yeah, spot on. And I agree. And it's interesting, Max. I think, you know, when people use the C word as such and the corruption word and they talk about it, it does feel like it's a bit of an excuse, because everybody has bad decisions. I mean, I've just finished watching the Coventry Man United game, and look, that offside for Coventry with their late goal, which would have been so nice to see them in the cup final, makes you maybe question at times, hang on a minute, it was either City Coventry or it's City United. What game maybe would somebody else want? I'm not by any means suggesting anything there. I'm just opening a question up. And I think that's where a lot of football fans align. The same way that Wolves fans this season will say, look, we've been really hard done by. The same way that Everton fans, I was inside Goodison today, and every time Anthony Taylor gave a free kick to Forest that might have been 50-50, might have probably been Everton's free kick, the Everton fans would have the same reaction as Forest fans on the opposing end. Yeah. Everybody's in the same boat here. And I agree with you. I think it's the lack of consistency refereeing. Why don't ex-pros go into refereeing? That's the big question for me. Why don't ex-footballers that know the game go? Why doesn't a manager, you know, let's take Neil Warnock, for example, someone that's been in the game for so long, get him at the PGMOL and get him to review decisions and get him to give his take on it. That would make a fairer game for me. And it just doesn't seem like we're getting that.
I'm all for having Neil Warnock shot in a box somewhere. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Let me press back on you guys a little bit, though, because you're right. You're talking about extreme fringes of our fan base, Max, Scott, when you talk about those fans who are suggesting that, you know, there's some degree of corruption going on here. And I don't think any of us on here believe that, right? But if we had a situation where Arsenal were playing Liverpool and the VAR was an old Manchester City fan, would we all be comfortable with that? Would we all say, you know what, these guys are professionals, they're trained to do this job, that doesn't come into it, no harm, no foul. Wouldn't that be unsettling to anybody?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying about this sort of just sort of being in the middle a little bit about this. I don't like the fact that we have an ownership that is so readily willing to publicly put Nottingham Forest's reputation on the line. Mm. And ultimately, regardless of what you think of the incident itself, it brings the club into disrepute. There's no doubt about it. But in this instance, for the first time, there is, for me, a modicum of sympathy for the sentiment in the tweet. Mm. Because, and I'm, you know, I'm trying to look at this as level-headed as I can. You're absolutely right, Mark. You know, there has to be a question. You know, there, you have to ask questions about about Stuart Atwell's affinity to Luton. Now, you know, it might well be a massive red herring. You know, I've tried to do as much sort of searches on Google, and there seems to be some sort of weight in it. But I don't know. We could be completely wrong. But you would think that, you would hope that the professionalism at the PGMOL would mean that this was never would never be the case. But we have a track record, don't we, of inconsistency, which I think throws into question how elite these referees are, or the people at the top of the game are. And so in a way it doesn't surprise me, but you're absolutely right. If this is if this is City against, yeah, well, you're right, you've said it. It just wouldn't happen, would it, Mark? It wouldn't happen.
Yeah. And it's been talked about. Forest are being investigated by the FA for basically questioning the integrity of the game. It is against the rules, and especially on social media. So Forest have another investigation, a PSR investigation, the points deduction appeal, and now this, something Forest should simply do without. Lee says, I agree with what Forest put out. The Premier League is clearly corrupt. I found a list from the 2021-22 season showing who officials support Atwell, Luton. He shouldn't be allowed in the VAR room. We made that point and we were robbed, and it's only right to expose it.
Lee, the second part of what you've said is absolutely right. It wasn't the right decision. The first part about corruption, with the greatest respect, I just cannot understand why you would think. What evidence do you have that Nottingham Forest are in some way being targeted? You know, let's try to sort of keep our feet on the ground in some sense. There is, you know, any other fan of any other club, when there is a decision against them, is going to feel wronged. But to say that somehow there is an agenda against Forest, I think, is absolute insanity. I think it's a much healthier conversation, and it's a much more reasonable conversation, and a conversation that can have actual positive benefits, is to question the direction of the PGMOL and the level of standards. But to say, oh, it's all about us, they want us relegated with no meaningful evidence other than poor refereeing decisions, which happens to everybody. It just so happens that maybe if you totted them up, Forest would be at the top end of the league in terms of decisions against them. But, you know, that doesn't mean it's corruption. I think it's more of a thing about standards.
Yeah. Also, Max, as well, though, Forest, not only are they not being targeted, but I think Forest also have to accept responsibility for drawing some heat to themselves this season. Yeah. You've had PSR, you've had, you know, hiring Mark Clattenburg. They're fully within their rights to do that. But what message does that send, and what kind of relationship does that create then between yourselves and the authorities? So again, Forest are well within their interests to do that if they feel like they need to, but you're just drawing heat to yourself.
Yeah, let's bring in this comment actually from Gary. Embarrassing on and off the field. The constant deflection from the disastrous recruitment is almost Trumpian levels. That statement today sends the club's club's optics even lower, which I thought.
And Max, can I come in on that? This is what I'm saying about the nuance right at the very beginning. If the club's approach to transfers wasn't so harmful, wasn't so unwise, wasn't so scattergun, then the decisions which potentially, we don't even know, but potentially have led to us losing the game today wouldn't matter as much, because we'd be further up the table. You know, we wouldn't have the points deduction, we wouldn't be in this trouble. And so there's an element of which I can't quite get behind the tweet, because I very much sit in the camp that the very people that have put that tweet out are the author of our biggest downfall this year, which is the 4 points deduction. So it's a really difficult situation, I think, to be in. And I think they need to think very carefully about the position that they're putting us as fans in. The turmoil that they're putting us as fans, who've spent thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds over generations on this football club, in the same week that they've hiked the ticket prices to startling levels. And they've also put fans in a really difficult position, because we want the best for our football club, but we also want them. We want the football club to be represented in a decent and classy way, and that's not happening. You know, it's really, really difficult time to be a Forest fan.
Yeah, it is. I agree. It's really difficult. And I'll kind of throw this point in, and before we move on to the game, because we forget that we've almost lost with all of this. I think the problem is the whole corruption talk will only ever be proved if simply evidence is released that it is corrupt, if there's an audio recording released or something that clearly shows it is. Until then, it's just fan talk. It's just conspiracies. What I think needs to be reviewed is just the whole situation of VAR and how it's interfering football. And in my opinion, ruining football, but that's my view. And kind of that's how I see it. Right, let's look at the game. You can probably tell from my voice, just the shouting at the players and just everything today. I think Forest fans made the trip a little bit more hopeful, given that Everton came into the game after a disastrous result midweek. Forest a little bit maybe positive after a decent draw, albeit against Wolves, and then obviously the Tottenham game. But you know, I think Forest fans did expect something today, and it just wasn't great at all. Mark, kick us off with your thoughts on the overall game, and then we'll kind of take it from there. But I just think, you know, me and you have talked about all season about leaders and consistency and fight and desire, and I don't think really there was any of that today.
And cohesion.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We saw a couple of changes in the starting lineup today. I don't think they had the desired effect. I don't think we started too badly, actually. Again, not really par for the course for us, but I think we started off on a pretty strong foot. But it just seemed to deteriorate as the game rolled on, and I really expected for us to come out with the fire in our bellies at the beginning of the second half. That certainly didn't happen. But just flat all the way round. I mean, I'll give Everton their flowers. They worked incredibly hard. They hunt in packs. They surrounded Morgan Gibbs-White at every opportunity, which is smart. I mean, you identify him as being really the main creator in our team. You know, but football is so much about momentum as well. You know, had Chris Woods been able to tuck away that opportunity at the back post and Jordan Pickford not got something on it. And I like I've told you before, Max, I do some commentary here in the US for the National Independent Soccer Association, who are the third tier here in the US, so below MLS and USL. And honest to God, if I'd seen refereeing decisions in regards to those penalties all go the way of one team over another, I would have found that incredibly amateur and frustrating. And that isn't to say that all those decisions were wrong necessarily. But again, with football being about momentum, had one of those gone our way, it could have perhaps created a different narrative. It didn't. Everton had the bit firmly between their teeth. And it's hard to argue that they didn't deserve the 3 points on the balance of the game.
Mm. And Max actually kind of stood in the away end. I thought it was interesting because Forest started brightly. The first 5 to possibly 10 minutes, Forest came out front foot, stuff that we've never seen in an away game before, really. Forest looked like they were going to win that game from the first 5 minutes. And I turned to my dad and I says, "Dad, I think we're going to get something today. So I think we're going to win." And do you know what changed the game for me? Was Niakate made a mistake that gave Everton a corner.
A corner.
Yeah, and surprise, and a chance to regroup. And from there onwards, the momentum changed. The home side got behind them a little bit. Mm-hmm. And from there, you're spot on, Mark, about Sean Dyche and Everton. Sean Dyche just knows Forest inside and out.
Of course.
If there was one man to possibly manage us this season, it probably should have been and could have been him. Given that he knows,
I mean, Goodison. Well. Goodison was a morgue as well before that corner, yeah. Max.
It was. I agree. Yeah, it was completely silent. Soon as that corner happened, momentum changed, and Goodison was rocking simply. Talk to me about the game, Max. I just thought, you know, the players came over at the end and clapped the fans, and Chris Wood and Morgan Gibbs-White led the line, and the fans did kind of give those two a round of applause, but everyone else was you know, I can't really say it on the podcast, but two words I just thought I just thought it was kind of justifiable given the performance. It just seems so spineless today.
I think there's always a line. I think Wolves, some Wolves fans crossed the line with Morgan Gibbs-White last week, for example, but fans pay their money and travel you know, the length and breadth of the country, they're well within their rights to not be happy with the performance. I completely agree. For me, I put the first 5 minutes down. I thought first 5 minutes, Morgan Gibbs-White had space. Everton looked a little bit disillusioned. But as soon as that, you're absolutely right, Max. It's same for me. As soon as that corner went out, and I was watching on the TV because I'm here living in London now, and the stat came up: Everton second top for goal scored from corners, Forest bottom. Yeah. And I feel that did something to the energy or whatever. After that, I think Mark's absolutely right about his point about cohesion. I look at this side and think, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to achieve? Because on paper, in my opinion, Forest on paper, man for man, are better than Everton and have such a vast array of talent. But there is very little evidence as to what they're trying to achieve as a team. You know, I want to shout out Nico Williams. I think he's been absolutely brilliant. And, you know, I think he embodies the passion that we have as fans. That's just a separate point. But Mark's absolutely right. We've spoken about the issues with standards of refereeing. We've spoken about the fallout from the tweet. But any of those penalties changes the direction of the game. And Forest and Everton aren't good enough to... Both of them are poor. And so that game could have gone any way. And I think they were helped out by the fact that Forest weren't given a penalty. Just on the first one, I won't go into the other two. But in the current Premier League era, with the precedent that is set by other penalties, we saw an hour later, Aaron Wan-Bissaka and Coventry were awarded a penalty for almost the exact same thing. And this is what is so infuriating. And this is what angers Forest fans. And it's what, you know, creates this conspiracy mentality within fans. That is a penalty. And that is why people say constantly the game's gone, because there's no consistency. Yeah. So whilst Forest didn't cover themselves in glory, whilst it looked like they lacked a little bit of fight and grit, whilst it looks like they lacked that togetherness and a way of playing, I'm sorry, but a penalty changes that game. And it didn't happen. And I don't want to open a big discussion about it. I don't really care what people think, but I cannot help the overwhelming feeling. Well, there's many overwhelming feelings from today, but one of the overwhelming feelings, actually, and I'm almost reluctant to say it, but I cannot help but think if Forrest still had Steve Cooper as their manager, we wouldn't be in any worse a situation. And we'd have a manager that fans care about. We'd have someone that we can rely on, because we can't rely on the ownership to give us that sense of togetherness or that sense of who we are. And I
when
just
you
think
say that, Max, when you talk about Cooper and Forest fans say, you know, we kind of want Cooper back and all of that, I am playing devil's advocate here, but is that not just Forest fans saying we wish we were in the happier times with Steve Cooper, having
absolutely
that connection?
Max, I'm not
tactically,
saying we should hire
do you
him.
Think, yeah.
I'm not saying we should hire him, but tactically, I don't think we'd be any worse.
Right. I agree. And also, to both of your points, and I can kind of bring them together and combine them, I put a tweet during the game, before the end of the game, before the madness with Forrest's tweet went out post-game, and said, it's really hard to admit this, but I don't really like my team right now. Forget my club, excuse me, not just the team, my club. Forget loving them. I don't really like them much right now. And there's just been a constant erosion throughout the season. And firing Steve Cooper has contributed to that, whether you feel like the results, you know, deserve that decision or not. But the feel-good factor that came with Cooper and the belief that he was connected to our club and really cared... I don't know, maybe this is hyperbolic, but if we're going to go down, I think most Forest fans would have rather have gone down with Cooper than go down with Nuno. I really do. I think he said, you know what, if we're going to go down, let's go down together. Yeah. Let's go down with the guy who brought us back up. Let's go down with the guy who we think can bring us back again. And let's go down with the guy who gets this club and makes us feel good about being Nottingham Forest fans.
And I want to sort of clarify that for people watching. What we're not saying is that we should hire him back.
Right.
And what we're talking about is the many different things, many different decisions that have been made by the football club that have contributed to where we are now. And one of them was firing Steve Cooper. Yeah, it wasn't good enough. Yeah, things weren't going particularly well. But I think that some way took away from the soul of the football club at the time. And I'm struggling to find, other than in Morgan Gibbs-White, other than in Ryan Yates when he plays, other than in Nico Williams, I'm struggling to see the spirit that we had built, and that's difficult as a fan to watch. So I understand your sentiment, Mark, about, you know, love and like, you know, I understand that.
Yeah, and I actually turned to a good friend before the game and said, see, Nuno's come up the tunnel. He hasn't even come over and almost shown appreciation to the travelling supporters. He did at the end, albeit he was told those two words again by the majority of the fan base. But I just thought before the game, you look at a manager like Cooper, but you don't look at managers just like Cooper. You look at other managers. I can pick out Oliver Glasner for Palace, who Forrest were linked with. I can pick out Klopp, Guardiola. They all appreciate the fans. And I just feel like Nuno hasn't helped himself trying to build a relationship with the club. I just think he's quite tough with the media as well. But that's me speaking from kind of a media point of view and not a fan's point of view. So for fans, it maybe doesn't matter too much. And read out a few more comments because I want to try and get lots of viewings. We've got lots of people watching tonight. Greg says 100% Nuno out. Give it Stephen Reid for the last four games. Guaranteed we will stay up. James says, we're just on about Glasner. James says, Marinakis had a choice between Nuno and Glasner. He picked the wrong one. Paul says here, no threat, nowhere near good enough. Shots on goal never even looked like scoring apart from Wood's close strike. Yes, a penalty could have changed the game, but we were nowhere good enough, full stop. That is a fair view. I mean, the penalty kind of changes the momentum as we talk about. Let's stay with Nuno, actually. Was there a plan, Mark, today when you watched it? Did you feel like Forrest had a... I actually think the plan was to try and score early and Forrest came out of the blocks, but after that, what was the response to going a goal down? That's my question to Nuno, in a way.
Well, like I said in my earlier comments, there didn't seem to be much of one. And I really thought Nuno would fire the boys up at halftime and we'd see them come out of the tunnel, you know, ready to go. And of course, happened a second half team this season. So I definitely expected more in that second 45, and it just didn't appear. As I mentioned, we made a couple of changes to the starting lineup. I don't think Nkati had a particularly bad game. I'm still not quite sure why Alanga's on the bench, but then again, I'm not taking practice sessions throughout the week, so there has to be some reason for that. I didn't hate Dominguez coming in for Yates. Max, I know that was a change that you... Max Hayes, and that was a change you wanted. And maybe Max Scott as well, that a change
yeah,
you wanted to see.
Yeah, we spoke about it and said it might. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't hate that, but then Dominguez didn't do a whole lot. You know, Yates comes on and within 2 minutes gets a yellow card. So
I actually think, you know what? I actually think that maybe today, I genuinely thought we were missing Yates at times. And I do think that was where almost the game was won. Not necessarily in the second half or in the first half, but more in the first half, Mark, was almost the midfield. You felt like the midfield was being overrun. I thought Rayner had a really poor game.
Yeah, he did.
Everyone's been crying out for him. Yeah. And then you also look at Morgan.
Yeah.
And I don't like criticising him, but Morgan wasn't at his best today. He had a chance. It seems like Morgan Gibbs-White needs to practice shooting a little bit. And maybe I'm being fully critical there. But it just felt like today the midfield was massively overrun, which maybe Yates could have changed. But, you know.
I don't think, well, firstly, I don't think Yates would have made it all the way to the 90 minutes or even to the 60 minutes if he'd been on that field today. I think he would have been so fired up. Maybe would have got a couple of yellow cards. And I think you're being a little hard on Morgan because he was targeted for sure. Every time he got the ball, he was surrounded by three Everton players. I sound like a broken record here, Max, but I keep coming back to cohesion and I keep coming back to us being beaten by teams that are teams. And this kind of goes back to Max Scott's point as well around the Forest recruitment. This is not a team. We said earlier in the season, Max, that it's going to come down to Forest and Luton trading blows. It's points for points between these two teams, who can amass the most, and the team that does wins. The team that does stays up. I actually think Burnley might come back into the mix now as well. Yeah. They're playing three of the most hot and cold teams in the division in Manchester United, Tottenham and Newcastle, yet that on paper sound like daunting prospects, but these are teams that win 3-0 and lose 3-0 in subsequent weekends. And then who do they play in the last game? Well, we know who they play in the last game. I know. It's so I'm really... I said this to you. So we're going to break the fourth wall here, Max Hayes, and tell our viewers and listeners something that we talked about offline, which is I revealed to Max I was...
Don't reveal my dirty secrets, Mark.
Being a little bit of a heel by suggesting a few weeks back that I didn't think Forest were going to stay up. because I kind of wanted to present a contrarian position, because of course, in my heart of hearts, I want Forest to stay up, but I also want for there to be interesting dialogue on these podcasts, and it's important we present all the various different viewpoints. There are other fans who believe Forest are going to go down, so it's, you know, it's important that we address that. I'm actually at the point now where I truly believe it. I truly believe the odds are against us, because I'm just not seeing, I'm not, under Nuno, I'm not seeing things develop. I'm not seeing the cohesion. I'm not seeing momentum. And again, we talked about this, Max, between games and in games. I'm just not seeing enough of it. And so even though Forest right now sit in the position where they're above Luton and Burnley in the table, I'm very, very, very nervous about our prospects of staying up this year now.
Got to bring in this comment from someone who obviously appears on the podcast a lot. Dave has commented, moan all you like about referees and VAR, but Forest weren't good enough today and haven't been good enough for much of the season. Most of the trouble we are in is of our own doing. So many missed chances again today. Going back to Greg's comment earlier, it stayed in my head about Nuno and making a change. Would that be right, Max? Is that, or would it be similar to replicating Leeds last season and getting Sam Allardyce in and it all? Yeah, and it just being a bit daft. I see people's points about Nuno. I can understand people's frustrations. You know, would a change be, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised given the ownership, but would a change make sense this late on?
My gut is no. I think the problem at Forest is that there isn't a successful culture. There isn't a culture that breeds success. There isn't a culture that breeds a way of playing. So we talk about what was the plan. Of course, there was a plan. It just wasn't implemented. We could all sit down and have our own plans. And the reason we're not top flight managers is because we don't. Well, everyone's got a plan.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll get this, Mark. It reminds me of Alan Iverson's thing about practice. You know, plan. It's about the implementation. Mm-hmm. And I think the problem is, you know, it's get Stephen Reid in or get any your big Sam in. I mean, I just think the problem isn't necessarily the person in charge. The problem is that Nottingham Forest has become a club void of any culture. And what we're being defined by now is antagonism and erratic decisions by the people in charge that put tweets out like that. Regardless of the fact that I think some of, you know, the basis of the tweets, probably I can understand it. But I just think you can't turn that tank around in four matches. And I think there's enough desire in the players, you know, contrary to what some people might think. I think there's enough desire in the players to want to get out of it, and that can be enough. So I think changing it would just further prove the point that Forest doesn't have a sustainable culture. Forest doesn't have the longevity to stay at the top or to develop into the team that we want them to be. I think there's a very strong argument to say that it's a little bit of a house of cards, and whatever happens this season is going to replicate itself until decisions change at the very top of the club, when it comes to transfers, when it comes to recruitment, when it comes to the way that the media are treated, when it comes to the way that staff members at the club are treated. All of these things need to come and need to be taken into account. And I don't think changing the manager would do much, to be honest.
That's the perfect response. That is the only thing I can add to that is say, why would you want Stephen Reid or even Big Sam when the aforementioned Neil Warnock's available?
Yeah, great point. Yeah.
Don't even suggest it. Now, like, maybe the media had come on for, well, not the media, but maybe certain people would come on Forest side
about that. I would love to see, Warnock come in at half time. You know, I'd love to hear what he'd have to say. That'd be great, wouldn't it? But you know, on the point of the media, I don't think there's anything against. I don't think there's anything against Forest. I think it's fair that people are criticising it. But, you know, when Jamie Carragher and Gary Neville come out and say, you know, it's lacking class, I mean, they're paid to give their opinions. I don't think we should get too sort of angry about it. But I do understand it's rich when they come out and give their opinions on Manchester United and Liverpool. And as soon as Forest have an opinion on what's happened to themselves as a club, you know, all of a sudden it's, you know, they're jumping on the bandwagon. But it's all part of the game. It's all part of clicks. It's all part of views. It's all part of outrage culture. It's the world that we live in, isn't it? I don't think there's anything against Forest in the media.
Yeah. And I will jump in there actually about Neville. I'd seen his, I thought Carragher was a bit more sensible. I think Neville was just, I just think to kind of talk about the, it lets the club's history down with the statement today. I've said at the start, it was out of order for Forrest to put that on. However, I'd argue that, you know, Neville should maybe stick to talking about the Glazers more than stick to talking about Forrest. I just thought he was really wrong. This comment from Greg or Gregory says, what about King Billy Davis back?
Well, you might be able to get him back, Max, I reckon. You should be able to get him back.
Third time's a charm.
I reckon he'd last about 5 minutes with Marinakis and then they'd fall out and that'd be it. That'd be brilliant. Make a documentary on the 10 minutes he lasts at the City Ground if he came back.
Comedy gold. It's like Forest season hasn't been controversial enough without that happening. God, could you imagine? Right, let's close and finalise because I am wary of time and it's 7:15 on a Sunday and I haven't eaten tea yet and I'm really hungry, to be perfectly honest.
Things you never hear from Gary Lineker on Match of the Day.
Yeah, see, that's what we bring, what's different here at this podcast. Sign me up. Max, let's close with your thoughts on whether Forest have got enough to survive in these remaining four games. Mark says he really feels like we don't, but four huge games next. It's not like we're playing Man City next week either.
Forest have got enough to survive, yeah, in terms of talent, in terms of players on the pitch. Whether the atmosphere and culture at the club will bring the best out of those players to achieve that, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised whatever happens either way. I think like many Forest fans, I feel really tired and a lot's been drained from us as fans. And I'm referring to the ticket prices, I'm referring to decisions made at the very top of the club that haven't helped. I want nothing more than Forest to stay in the Premier League. Nothing more. This club, it means so much to us. And I speak for myself. It's, you know, it's part of who I am. And it's nothing more than I want. But equally, there's this dissonance because I feel quite disconnected with the way that things are going and the way that things look, the way that things are being run. And so it's really difficult to feel that energy that maybe I felt earlier in the season. But yes, I do think we've got enough to stay up.
Fingers crossed. I just hope. Mark, any final thoughts from you before we go? Give us some optimism.
Honestly, it just hurts my heart to hear Max Scott talk like that because I feel exactly the same way. I do. And I don't want to sit here and be the guy that believes Forrest are going down. I think we all know Forrest can. I think all three of us would admit to that, but I don't want to be the guy who sits here and says, I can see us taking 1 point in the last four games. And it clearly, if that's what we do, that won't be enough. It's so difficult right now. It's so difficult. I love this team so much. And anyone who follows me online will know that I'm a fan of a few others as well in other countries. And of course I have my team here in the US, but none of them mean anything close to me as Nottingham Forest does. The affection, affinity and love I have for this club and have had for decades makes this moment in time really challenging. So I'm really hoping we do stay up. And you're right, Max, you said this a couple of weeks ago. You're like, wouldn't it be like us to lose to Everton and beat City? Well, here's hoping.
Yeah. That does us nicely. That ends us on a positive note. I think there's time and there's four games left and it isn't over until that season's finished. And it might not even be over given that the points deduction appeal is this week. So we'll keep you updated with that. Deep breath. I'm ready to go to bed. I will say one final thing before we go. The Forest fans today at Goodison, you know, until the end of the game, they were stuck together. There was there was chance of Forest staying up. There was a few Forest till I die chance as well. I think the fan base have been a credit to the football club this season, and I just hope for our sake that we stay in the division. It's as simple as that. Four huge games before the players go on a holiday. We all go on holiday and relax, and let's just hope that we're talking about Forest at staying in the Premier League at the end of it. I normally end on a catchy outro, but I won't tonight. I'm going to refrain from it. Forest till we die. Fingers crossed. That's all we can do. Hope, pray, keep supporting the team. Max, Mark, thank you for tonight. Really appreciate it, giving up your time on a Sunday. Mark, enjoy the rest of it. Whatever you've got planned at Max, you'll probably end up going to sleep like me, mate, after all of that.
Yeah.
Go and have a mac and cheese.
I'll go down and get it for £2.50. 8 minutes in the microwave. Yeah, straight up your lips.
Blimey, Gordon Ramsay on here.
Do you know what? Maybe we should go to do a food podcast if Forest get relegated.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, I don't know though. There'd probably be less to talk about.
Road trip across the states, Max.
It's going to happen. Okay. As long as you're funding it, Mark. Right, give us a like and share and subscribe on YouTube. Thanks for everybody for watching tonight. Really appreciate your comments. Sorry if we didn't get to them. We will be back throughout this week. Maybe back tomorrow as well for an extra episode. But if not, do take it easy. Keep well and fingers crossed that Forest pull their finger out in the next four games. Forest till we die in these remaining games as Forest bid to survive in the Premier League. Come on, you Reds.